This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones here live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots have a disappointing home opener against the Arizona Cardinals. 20-18, they fall. It's the first season, or home opener rather, that the Patriots have lost since 2001. That was all the way back when Drew Bledsoe was the starting quarterback for this team, a 10-3 loss to the New York Jets. First home opening loss for Tom Brady. He's 10-1, just the second home loss for Brady in his last 37 games, and it all came down to a hooked field goal at the end of the game by Steven Gostkowski, who had a monster game for the Patriots. Four field goals, but when it mattered most, when the pressure was on, he came up completely empty. And it's unfortunate for the Patriots. They didn't deserve to win this one by any stretch of the imagination. 387 yards offensively for the Pats is actually better than I would have thought. You look at Brady's final line, 316 yards, a touchdown. It doesn't underscore how much the Patriots were outplayed in this one. The Cardinals were the better team. They deserve to win in this one, and unfortunately, it came down to poor special teams for the Patriots. It wasn't just that missed field goal, by the way. It was also a blocked punt for New England, something that Andy Hart mentioned on the pregame show. Look, if Arizona takes advantage in special teams, that's an area where they are better than the Pats, and it completely showed today with a missed field goal, with the game on the line, and a blocked punt, which also led to a Cardinals touchdown earlier in this one. And a tough way to start the home schedule for the Patriots as they fall 20-18 at Gillette Stadium. We'll get to all your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. We'll give a few pats on the back, but also assign some blame as we do each and every postgame show here on the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
We will get to the bad list in a moment. I think you know where I'm going with that one, especially after the open here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. However, I thought Brandon Spikes played an excellent game. He's on my good list here tonight. Seven tackles and had what should have been a game-winning play for the Patriots with that forced fumble at the end on Ryan Williams completely turned the game around and gave the Patriots a chance to jump in front and steal this one at the end of the game. He also was constantly penetrating into the backfield, whether it was hitting Cobb or hitting the Cardinals running backs. I thought he played an excellent game in this loss to Arizona. I also thought Chandler Jones was great. Five tackles, had that forced fumble, which was recovered by Tavon Wilson. No official sacks in this one for Chandler Jones, but did have another holding penalty, which he drew, and also another pressure. He was unblockable on one drive against the Cardinals, their fourth of the first half, where he stuffed Ryan Williams for a four-yard loss, drew a hold on Batiste, and then pressured Cobb, nearly got a safety on a three and out. I thought he played very well for the Patriots today. Also, the pass defense in general. Look, the defense played a great game today. Cardinals were 4 of 14 on third down. Larry Fitzgerald, who Bill Belichick rightfully lauded earlier in the week, should end up in Canton someday, but not with a performance like today. Certainly underwhelming, and that has a lot to do with the Patriots' defensive play calling and also guys like McCourty, who really defended Fitzgerald in the end zone when he had a chance to pull down a touchdown. Fitz, just one catch for 4 yards on five targets. I thought the secondary played pretty well here for the Pats today. Bad list, Steven Gostkowski. Pretty self-explanatory. You miss a game-winning field goal from 42 out. We're not talking a 55-yarder. We're talking a makeable field goal, especially when Gostkowski connected from 46, 34, 51, and 53. earlier in the game. Inexcusable. Got to make that 42-yarder to win it. So he's at the top of the bad list. Nate Ebner, also on it. Drafted as a special teamer and a difference maker on special teams for the Pats. He did not block Quentin Groves at all on that block punt. Just completely whiffed, and Groves came in untouched and blocked Zoltán Mezco, which led to a 2-yard touchdown pass from Kevin Cobb to Andre Roberts, and that was a major momentum swing in that game. Also on my bad list, and this one is a little tough, I'll admit that, because of the way they shut down Fitzgerald, and I thought the defensive game plan was pretty good, but I put it on the coaching staff. They lost a challenge in this one as Kevin Collins came in after the game and pointed out, why don't you try to punch it in a little closer than the 42-yard field goal? Make it a bit more manageable instead of taking knees and going in the center of the field. And I just didn't think the coaching staff did a great job figuring out how to make up for the loss of Aaron Hernandez, whether it was getting Welker more involved or Hernandez, Gronkowski rather, or whomever. They didn't do a good job getting those other weapons involved. And obviously, on the injured part of things, Aaron Hernandez, ankle injury. And it looks like, the Patriots may have dodged a bullet here. It's not broken, which we know. Multiple reports have said that. And tweets like this came in from Albert Breer throughout the course of the game. Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez injury is believed to be a high ankle sprain. It's not good. You saw how the offense looked without Hernandez in there. But you're not talking about losing him for the season or anything like that, which I think was most Patriots fans' fears when he initially went down. Will Fork also was on and off the field at the end of the game with an ankle injury. He appears to be okay, at least longer term, though he couldn't stay on the field totally at the end of this one. Obviously, the Hernandez injury is something we'll get to. What does it mean for the Patriots offense going forward? If it's any indication here today, that's not a good sign, as a lot of the Patriots offense seems to be predicated on getting things, getting the football to Aaron Hernandez in space. And today we saw a bit more Wes Welker in this one, though Julian Edelman started in place of Welker. He finishes their leading receiver, 5 catches, 95 yards on 11 targets. Got to wonder if he's fully healthy, and if not, what's he doing on the bench to start the game? I wasn't making a big deal out of it after week one. I figured you were easing him back in for health reasons or whatever. Remember, Welker missed the last two preseason games. But I thought it was odd that he started this one on the bench, and he looked pretty healthy as the game wore on. Again, finishes their leading receiver. So what's going on with Welker? Something we'll get to, along with how the Patriots replace Aaron Hernandez in the offense for whatever period of time it'll have to be. And also your thoughts in general on this home opener, a loss to the Arizona Cardinals. You can get in touch 508-298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. Before we get to some of the feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, a staggering stat from before the game. And this is what hinged on that missed field goal by Gostkowski. Teams that start 2-0 in the NFL, which the Patriots had a chance to do if Gostkowski hits that field goal. Teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs 64% of the time since 1990 in the NFL. Teams that start 1-1, which the Patriots are now at, after the missed field goal, 41%. I'm not sitting here and trying to tell you the Patriots are going to miss the playoffs. I expect them to win the division. And I expect them to ultimately be in the postseason and again try to make a run at getting back to the Super Bowl. But it's a big difference there between starting 2-0 and starting 1-1. And I think that math backs that up just a little bit here. Again, it's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on this one. Throughout the course of the show, a disappointing performance by the Patriots in their home opener, particularly their special teams. A missed field goal at the end and a blocked punt because Nate Ebner, it appears anyway, completely whiffed on a block of Quentin Groves. You'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up a little later on the postgame show, as well as Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. And we'll also go around the AFC East and catch you up to speed on what else has been going on in the Patriots division here today. This is one of a number of exciting games. That Giants-Buccaneers game, not sure if you've been keeping an eye on that one. We'll get you up to speed on that, as well as the Philadelphia and Baltimore game, as some games here in the NFL went down to the wire today. Looking over your emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Megan writes in, Adam, I don't understand what was going on with the offense. I understand Hernandez is out, but there aren't any other players out there? I don't feel positive about this offense, especially when the line can't protect Brady. What are they going to do when they face the Ravens and the 49ers? Well, we're going to find out pretty soon, as the next game for the Pats is at Baltimore on Sunday night. So we'll get a good feel for it. Look, I don't want to overreact. There were four sacks in this game today allowed by the Patriots offensive line. It certainly seemed like Brady was under more duress than that. Certainly seemed worse. I thought that number four would have been a little higher when we came in here and looked at the final box score. But in general, I still think this Patriots team is going to be okay. That was ugly today. It's a damn good defense they're going against. This is something I was trying to preach on the pregame show, by the way, that defense should be able to keep things close, not a 13.5 point spread, which I was called crazy for thinking the Cardinals could cover that thing. But that's why their defense is good. So in other words, I don't know that this defense is that far off from Baltimore's or Pittsburgh's or whomever you want to think of at the top of the league. That's a young, fast, athletic defense. By the way, on that line, Bill wrote in at halftime, Adam, it's 6-6. Tell Andy Hart to suck it. I'll make sure I do that on the pregame show next week. But look, I didn't want to see the Patriots drop this game. And the way Spikes turned things around at the end, I just thought he did his job. The defense in general today did their jobs. And guess what? Tom Brady and the offense in the fourth quarter wasn't perfect, but they were good enough to get into this thing. They were good enough to put their kicker in a position to win the game. Doesn't mean they were perfect. Doesn't mean Brady doesn't deserve any blame for this loss, or the coaching staff, or even Gronkowski, who dropped a touchdown at one point earlier in this game. Patriots wound up getting in the end zone anyway. He also had that long connection earlier in the game. I'm not sure if you remember this, where Brady had an outstretched Gronkowski going into the end zone. It was right before halftime. Could have been a touchdown. And that'd be tough to pin it on Gronkowski. It's just a way of illustrating, look, there's more blame to go around than just Gostkowski, but at the end of the game, 42-yard kick, gotta nail that thing. Gotta nail that thing. And we illustrated the difference between starting 2-0 and starting 1-1, and it is a big difference. We'll get to your phone calls here momentarily. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get in touch with the Patriots post-game show. It's presented by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Chris writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, didn't get to watch the game, so I'm wondering, how'd the Patriots offensive line perform? It was a rough one for the Patriots O-line today. And I thought it was rough in general for Donald Thomas, which was an odd start by the Patriots, by the way. We touched on this a bit on the pregame show, but just going through my notes here, Thomas had a false start penalty. He had a holding penalty. He had that mix-up with Marcus Cannon, where the two of them allowed a sack, and it's hard to completely assign blame on a Quentin Groves sack, who's also the player who blocked a punt. I thought it was an up-and-down day for Donald Thomas, and that hinges on the health of Dan Connolly. I mean, you're talking about a guy who should be a backup. But I thought he struggled today. So if you're asking me to single out someone on the offensive line, I thought it was him. But the Patriots had bigger issues, and the coaching staff wasn't ready. And look, we're talking about a great player here, and a guy who had almost 1,000 yards as a tight end last season, and made a case for a Pro Bowl season. But the coaching staff didn't have a plan after Hernandez went down. You would think it would be go three wide. Stick Welker and Edelman and Lloyd out there. And for whatever reason, doesn't seem like Brady and Lloyd are completely on the same page. Welker didn't start the game. And Gronkowski, until that fourth quarter, was completely invisible. So I do put a lot of that on the coaching staff in this one. And I thought that was a bigger issue. Josh McDaniels, back as your offensive coordinator. What'd you think of his performance today? 508-298-0398. CA's Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. I thought it was underwhelming. Let's hit these phone calls. Tyrone is in Delaware. You'll kick things off on the Patriots postgame show. What's up, Tyrone?
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, man.
I just saw the Bill Belichick. I'm not even going to blame coaching. I'm looking around the league. I see the Giants was down 41. Giants was down big. They came back because they got playmakers. All we got is catchmakers, Wes Welker, Elderman, and them guys. They guys can't get it done. It seems to me he said you could coach better. He needs better players. He needs some more players on the outside.
Well, Tyrone, you're talking about a guy who every year, seemingly, since he's been in New England, Wes Welker has 100 catches. He's been to the Pro Bowl. You think they need better players than Wes Welker and Brandon Lloyd and Rob Gronkowski out there at the end of that game?
No. I say Westbrook. I say he's a catchmaker, but not a playmaker. It's a different. Is a Victor Cruz is a playmaker. We don't have. Gronkowski's a playmaker.
That's what I was just going to say. Rob Gronkowski was out there. He's certainly a playmaker.
Yeah, you know that, but that's it. Brandon Lloyd. I would have thought Baltimore got Jacoby Four Jones. I would have taken him over Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Look, Tyrone. I don't think that it was a banner day by Lloyd, and I don't think he's looked great in the preseason or either of the first two regular season games.
Lloyd is okay.
I wouldn't take Jacoby Jones over him, and I think you're using a bit of hyperbole there. He's been disappointing, Brandon Lloyd. And Tyrone, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. He's been disappointing to me. And I think you just look at the numbers from both Brady and Lloyd in this one, by the way. You know, you look at Brady, 316 yards, 28 of 46, touchdown and a pick. If you don't watch the game, you'd look at it and say, well, what's the issue? But him and Lloyd don't look in sync. 8 catches for 60 yards for Brandon Lloyd in this one on 13 targets. And I'll tell you what, I thought Lloyd was this deep threat, Kevin Collins. I tweeted this during the game. I thought Lloyd was supposed to make catches outside the numbers. And instead, he's like running bubble screens and, you know, catching passes over the middle of the field. And great, you want versatile guys in your offense. I understand that. But I don't know. I thought the reason you brought Brandon Lloyd here was to stretch the defense and keep the safeties honest and things like that. So I don't know. I just haven't seen it from Lloyd thus far. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Michael writes in. Adam, can I get a Vince Lombardi? What the hell is going on out there? What is it with the execution? Did the Patriots think they could just show up and play half-ass and steamroll the Cardinals? Or are the Cardinals that good? Let me jump in. I think you're going to hear a little bit what we talked about on the pregame show. The Patriots just looked right past the Cardinals. No. I don't think that's what it is. I think the Cardinals' defense is pretty good. Tried to say it before the show. Calais Campbell, Darnell Dockett, you saw them constantly in the backfield. Peterson was a hell of a lot better than I thought. He was all over Lloyd going down the field. He even got to mix it up a little bit on offense with that 18-yard run out of the Wildcat. So I thought he was impressive, especially defensively. But no, I think the Cardinals' D is that good, and I thought the Patriots' coaching wasn't ready for the injury to Aaron Hernandez. They weren't. And I don't know that any coaching staff would be, but when he gets hurt that early in the game, you got to figure something out. If not in the first half, then make some second-half adjustments. And I didn't think they had him until it was much, much too late. Gronkowski wasn't a factor until the end of that game. You know, Welker, I thought they should have been pumping it into him the second Hernandez went down. You know, Welker's your slot guy. We didn't see it. And on the coaching staff, lost a challenge, as Kevin Collins said. Maybe they could have tried to run a play or two. They still had time at the end of the game. They could have made it easier than a 42-yard field goal.
They were inside the 20-yard line with a minute left.
Look, Gostkowski's got to nail that thing. Like, he should make a 42-yarder in his sleep. He hit from 50 or over 50 twice in this game. So I'm not letting Gostkowski off the hook, but I just thought it was a poor day for the coaching staff.
No, I just think if you have a whole minute left, Jones, you know, you're not in a rush at all. Why not, instead of taking a knee, why not at least try to advance the ball 3-4 yards? And, I mean, I guess you can make the point, well, hey, look what the Cardinals did trying to advance the ball, and they fumbled.
It's fair. So, I think that's a less egregious thing than some of the other things the coaching staff did. You know, not having a backup plan for Hernandez, that's an issue. Why is Welker on the bench? Why is Donald Thomas starting, but Dan Connolly's active? You know, and they're losing challenges and losing timeouts. I just didn't think it was a strong day for the coaching staff. And maybe the timeout and the challenge thing has more to do with the replacement officials, but still. 508-298-0398. Let's get through some of these phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike is in San Diego. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Mike.
Adam, hey, what's going on? How are you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, look here. I'll make it really quick. I'm not going to, you know, you're going to probably hear a lot of these fair weather fans that speak up the pads or whatever. You know, like, that kind of pisses me off in the stadium. But I'm just going to tell you right now, from what I saw in the game, I don't think the Pats are going to look past the Cardinals. It's a bunch of garbage to me. From what I saw, like you said, Pats defense is just, I mean, they play good, but the Cardinals defense is just pretty damn better. You know, it was just much better. So I'm not gonna beat the Pats over the head. They're my boys. I love them. I'm with them when they win, and I'm still with them when they lose.
Mike,
it's only the second game.
No, and Mike, and thanks for the phone call. And I haven't heard much of this yet, and we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. We haven't heard much of this yet. Like, the Patriots are in trouble or anything. And I don't expect Patriots fans to feel that way. You know, Patriots lost early in the year to Buffalo last year. They wound up winning 13 games. So I still think this team will win the division. I still think they'll be fine. I'm not using this loss to extrapolate on anything. I think it was a bad day for the coaching staff. I didn't think Brady had his best day. I didn't think Gronkowski had his best day. However, Mike just touched on the Cardinals' defense, and he inadvertently said the Patriots' defense. I do want to say that for the second straight game, and you're going against guys who aren't top-flight quarterbacks. I understand that. Jake Locker was making his first start. Kevin Cobb has bounced around when he's been healthy. Sometimes he's been the starter, sometimes he hasn't, whether it's been Philadelphia or in Arizona. But they made those guys look like, you know, either a young rookie quarterback or just another guy in the case of Kevin Cobb today, and that's what you should make him look like. That Patriots D, if you go back to my good list, it was all defense. It was all defense. Jones, Spikes, you know, I thought there were other people we could have put on there. You know, the pass defense did an incredible job taking away Larry Fitzgerald today after we heard ad nauseum that he might be the best receiver of all time, according to Bill Belichick. He may go down as the greatest receiver of all time. That's what he said. And they completely took him away. The Pats D was great. And that's going to get lost in the missed field goal and the Hernandez injury and the offense struggling. And rightfully so. The Cardinals defense looked great. I don't know. Watching today, I didn't think the Patriots defense was all that far behind. Now, the Cardinals were going against a better offense and a better quarterback, but I thought the Patriots D looked great for the second straight week. Bonnie writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Adam, what I don't understand is all the run plays on third down with Danny Woodhead, or running it on third down in general. In all, this was a terrible performance, and I'm not confident this team can win the division. By the way, subject line for Bonnie, I'm worried. I think they can. I just did my spiel there, so agree to disagree, I guess. I will say, another player who I like the looks of a lot, Ridley, for the second straight game. And the final numbers don't look great. 18 carries, 71 yards, long gainer of 20, couple of catches, three catches for 24 yards. I think he looked great. You know, he doesn't need to come out and totally carry the day offensively for you. You know, he doesn't need to be Corey Dillon in 2004, but he looks like a nice complement to this offense. I just think there was some unimaginative play calling for the Patriots. And, you know, when Hernandez goes down, that's a blow. And that's something that I don't know a lot of teams can necessarily handle. So I don't think this is unique to the Patriots necessarily. But Belichick is a Hall of Fame coach. You know, he may go down as the greatest, or certainly on the short list of the greatest head coaches of all time. So if anybody's going to figure it out, it should be him and Josh McDaniels. I just didn't think when they were met with that challenge offensively, they did well with it. Defensively, they had a whale of a game plan. They completely took Fitzgerald away. So that's why I said I put it last out of my three things on my bad list. I put that at the bottom because I think it was less impactful than Gostkowski's missed field goal, obviously, and also Ebner allowing a blocked punt. I mean, special teams is what ultimately did the Patriots in this one. But more explosion from the offense, better play calling from the offense, or putting guys in the right spots to succeed once Hernandez goes down, maybe you wouldn't have had such a thin margin for error with your special teams. That's sort of my takeaway here. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. Let's go to Chris in Las Vegas. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, you know, I agree with you 100%. Really inexplicable play calling. I mean, one of the plays that really stands out to me was that third and six on the Cardinals 35-yard line, and Danny Woodhead stopped for a huge loss on a horrible pitch play to the right side.
Yeah, that was the halfback. They were looking to run the halfback option pass there.
Yeah, knocked him completely out of field goal range, and that was huge.
Yeah, I mean, look, Chris, one of the things, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. One of the things that I was questioned for in the preseason was just wondering aloud, does Josh McDaniels, what's the transition back to McDaniels going to be? And look, when McDaniels was here, it was a wide receiver-based offense. It was Welker and Moss, and now it's Gronkowski and Hernandez. And I wondered in the preseason, how does McDaniels transition to a tight end-based offense? And does he put guys like Gronkowski and Hernandez in the best position to succeed? Now, look, he may not have Hernandez for a stretch of time. And again, it's being reported a bunch of places, or speculated at least, that it looks like a high ankle sprain for Aaron Hernandez, which means he should be back at some point. As Greg Bedard noted, and I want to get to these notes in a moment, Patriots can't use the designated to return IR spot with him because they used it on Schenko. You hope that doesn't come back to bite the Patriots. But I wondered aloud, like, how does McDaniels transition with these tight ends? It's a totally different offense. And my answer is ultimately, I think he'll be fine, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were hiccups in the beginning. And this may have been a hiccup. And it was exacerbated, I think, by an injury. But between an early catch from Rob Gronkowski and the fourth quarter, Gronkowski had this 9-yarder on 3rd and 6. And in my notes, the next catch, and perhaps I missed one in there somewhere, but in my notes, the next catch came on the Patriots' fourth drive of the second half. It was a 22-yarder to Gronkowski. He was invisible until the fourth quarter. Like, that's on your offensive coordinator or on the quarterback. It's on one or the other. I didn't think Brady was great, but I don't know. If you're asking me one or the other, I think it was more play calling. A couple of notes here from Greg Bedard, Boston Globe. At halftime, after the Hernandez injury, Bedard wrote, the right ankle injury to Aaron Hernandez looks serious. Just a guess, it's either broken or it's a bad high ankle sprain. And at least some of the tweets would make it seem like it's the latter, a high ankle sprain. He can't be put on injured reserve and brought back later this season. Patriots use that designation on Vasante Schenko, writes Bedard. Not having Hernandez changes a lot for the Pats. The offense was centered around him, but they can adjust after this game. They played without him before. Look for Wes Welker to become more of a force in this offense. It looks like Welker was a complete non-factor in the game plan going in. He barely played after Hernandez went out. And again, this is Bedard writing at halftime. Welker picked up his play in the second half. One other note from Bedard. Patriots will have to debate after the game whether they stay with tight ends, perhaps add another, or just bring in a guy like Deion Branch or Jabbar Gaffney to add more receivers to the mix. It's an interesting question. What do the Patriots do? Do you just go sign up Branch and bring him back? Or do you try to stay with the tight end thing, at least until Hernandez comes back healthy? And if it's an ankle sprain, he'll be back at some point. You know, we don't know when, but how do you play that card? I think that's an interesting question for the Patriots. One more email here from Trey to webradio@patriots.com. Adam, game had no flow, no pace to the offense, although Hernandez was hurt, and it's almost like we don't know if we want to run or throw more or neither. Neither one was dominant enough to be balanced in this game. I thought the Patriots ran it fine, and honestly, I thought they went away from running it a little bit. And that would be one of my criticisms with the play calling. I think they went away from it a little bit. Ridley certainly didn't look like he did last week against Tennessee, but he's pretty good, especially in that first half. 80 yards. I thought they could have gone to Ridley more in this one. Let's take another phone call. Melvin has been waiting patiently. He's in Tennessee, and he's next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, like I said, of course, like everybody else, scratch my head, like a lot of things after this game, but I don't know where to start with. If it's rather Woodhead, you know, ineffective, like I've said, like I called last week and said, I just think he's not effective running the ball. And I don't know if it's offensive line or what's going on, but I think also Brandon Lloyd needs to get out of 85. I'm so tired of seeing 85 high-team connection with Tom Brady. It's just like, I
need a new number for Lloyd. That's a good suggestion. That's a good suggestion, Melvin.
Yeah, it's just, it's getting nerve-wracking. It was kind of like, somewhat when I watched the Giants when they played in the regular season, and they just really tried to get, you know, Ocho Cinco and Tom Brady on the same page. And it seemed like in this game, it's like they were just trying to get a niche. And although it just wasn't there. I don't know how many drop passes I've seen. I don't know what Gronk was doing. He just, you know, stayed asleep to the fourth quarter. But it was just, you know, an out of sync type, a whole out of sync from the offense from a whole just about until the fourth quarter.
Completely.
Should have done that the whole game.
Completely. Yeah. And Melvin, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. He talked about Woodhead. Remember, Woodhead broke off a touchdown. He got into the end zone at the end of the game. And ultimately, the Patriots got in the end zone anyway. But remember, there was this holding penalty on Gronkowski at the end of the game. And we got an email about it. You know, does the Patriots, and excuse me, this is on the final drive for the Patriots, not when they ultimately went in. Travis writes in, what about the Gronk holding penalty that lost us the game? That Gronkowski holding penalty on Woodhead, he's right. I mean, Woodhead would ultimately punched it in. I don't know if it's fair to say that it cost him the game because Gostkowski missed the thing, and it was a tough call against Gronkowski. It was. But if you're talking about that holding penalty at the end, I thought ultimately it was the right call. It's on Gronkowski. The Patriots offense still picked up yards. They put their kicker in field goal range. Yes, it negated a touchdown, but part of the reason they got the touchdown was the holding penalty. I did not think Gronkowski had a great game. Not to put it all on the coaching staff. I thought he was invisible for a good chunk of the game. And without rewatching it and just, you know, sitting here in the studio and watching this thing, it's hard to know. You know, it's hard to completely know. Were they taking him away? Is he still not fully back from his injury? Is Brady not looking? Is it like, what is it? I don't have the answer. The best thing I can come up with is the coaching staff needs to put him in a better spot. New offensive coordinator, and it seems like he could have been featured more, especially after Hernandez went down, and we didn't see it that way. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Continue to weigh in there. We'll hear from you next, and we'll also head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's home opening loss 20-18 to the Arizona Cardinals. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac!
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
This is Patriots kicker Steven Gostkowski, and you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
See, now, Kevin, why'd you have to go and do that? Why do you gotta...
Sticking the knife in.
You gotta throw the guy under the bus. Look, he's the ultimate GOAT in this one. And I went back and looked, because, you know, sometimes the end of the game gets a little jumbled together. The emailer's totally right. The Gronkowski thing was on the final drive. And, you know, it takes away a would-be touchdown for Woodhead. Still, Gostkowski's got to hit that thing, especially when you hit from 51, 53, 46, 34 earlier in the game. Have to hit that thing. He's the ultimate GOAT in this one. It's unfortunate because he was going to be on the good list if he hits the game winner when it was his fifth freaking field goal. And instead, the Patriots fall 20-18 to the Arizona Cardinals. Their first home opening loss since 2001. Remember that game? That was Tom Brady's first action that he saw. Drew Bledsoe gets hit by Mo Lewis. That was against the Jets, a 10-3 loss all the way back in 2001. We told you this stat earlier. Figure we reiterate it. Teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs 64% of the time. Teams that start 1-1, 41% of the time. That's since 1990 when the playoff format was expanded in the NFL. So that's what hinged on that missed kick by the guy that Kevin Collins just gave us a rejoin from. Steven Gostkowski, Sunlight Patriots postgame show, by the way, here on Patriots.com. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. I wanted to check the emails here before we got back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Keith writes in, Adam, the loss definitely stinks, and we lost this game due to bad play calling and horrible personnel decisions playing Danny Woodhead in this game. I do, however, feel good about the defense and their ability to keep us in the game. Two things. One, he is completely and totally right about bad personnel, though I'm not sure I'd focus on Woodhead. Why is Edelman playing 75 snaps and Welker 63? Why does the team only have three active wide receivers? Do they go out and sign Deion Branch, Dante Stallworth, Jabbar Gat, whomever? Do they go out and sign one of those guys? Is Salas active next week instead of Dan Connolly being active and not starting, and instead Donald Thomas is starting at right guard, and the Patriots struggle there in that spot? I thought he was the offensive lineman that stood out in the worst way for me today. So, I don't know, some interesting active, inactive decisions by the Patriots. Then you get into the game, and Edelman plays more snaps than Welker, who was your best receiver today. What's going on there? Like, is Welker healthy? That's the thing I keep going back to. I don't think this is a phasing him out contract thing. I think that's silly. But is he totally healthy? That's what I keep going to. Remember, didn't play in the final two preseason games, was limited snap-wise in that opener against Tennessee, and now today played less snaps than Julian Edelman. I don't know. You tell me. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. The other thought there from Keith, and I think it's a good point, and it's going to get totally lost in the wash, and rightfully so. Like, other things are further down the list here today, right? Gostkowski's going to stand out. The poor offense, the Hernandez injury, like other things are going to get the headlines. He's totally right, though. Defense looked good for the second straight week. They've gone against inept quarterbacks for 2 weeks in a row, Cobb and Locker. But I think they've looked about as good as you could hope they'd look. They passed the smell test for me defensively these first couple of games. One other note, Patriots get Baltimore next week. Now, we started the show, so I missed the tail end of this thing. But they lost to the Eagles today, 24-23. So that's maybe a more desperate Baltimore team when you head down there on Sunday night. Let's hit these phone calls. 508-298-0398. Pete's in Dallas. He's been waiting patiently, and he's next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Pete. Pete, you there?
What's your name, Pete?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. I was going to say I definitely do agree. I just think that, you know, the Patriots, the reason we lost this game today was just because we self-imploded on ourselves, and bad personnel decisions all around the board. But, you know, you just got to be encouraged about the defense, because the defense really did just step up and do their job today. And, you know, it just seems like Brady went back to Bill O'Brien's offense in the fourth quarter on their touchdown drive and was just like, the hell with the run game, trying to run Danny Woodhead on 3rd and 6 and 3rd and 2. I'm just going to do me. And that's what I saw from the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, Pete, can you blame him? Like, I mean, I kind of think that was the right call, that they started pumping it into Welker once he lost Hernandez. I'm surprised they didn't do it more. I don't know if it was an I'm going to do me kind of stance from Brady or whatever. I just think that's what McDaniels is comfortable with. And in a weird way, the injury to Aaron Hernandez, not that the Patriots want it, but in a weird way, it sort of plays into Josh McDaniels' play calling, at least what he used to have in 2007 here with the Patriots. So I thought he'd be able to pick that up, and the Patriots would be able to pick that up. And I thought Welker was underutilized, not just in snaps, but in targets and things of that nature. Five catches for 90 yards. I thought he could have had more, Pete.
No, he definitely could have had more. I'm just saying, you know, Welker on the field, third and two, when you have Stephen Ridley on the sideline, it almost looks like he played.
I see what you're saying.
In the fourth quarter.
I see what you're saying.
And he was picking up 5 yards a carry. Why is he there on third and six?
Yeah, and this is something I touched on earlier. And, Pete, thanks for the phone call. I wasn't totally getting your point earlier. I understand what you're saying. They abandoned the run. That's something McDaniels has done in the past. It's certainly something Bill O'Brien did a lot as an offensive coordinator for the Patriots last year and in seasons past. They just completely forget about the run. You know, they start it a little bit and try it out a little bit, and then when it doesn't work, completely abandon it. I think Ridley's been a bright spot. I had him on my good list early, but the defense just completely outshined him. And I thought spikes at the end and Chandler Jones and some of the pressure he had in the past defense in general on Fitzgerald, I just thought they outshined him in this one. But Ridley's been good. Not as good as he was week one, but who thought he was going to put up another 125 yards? I figured maybe he'd get in the end zone today, but 71 yards on 18 carries, about 4 yards a pop, look good. Three catches out of the backfield against a good defense. I'll take that. I will take that. The Patriots don't need to be this ground and pound offense. They need a complimentary running game, and it seems like they have it. But at the end, did they go away from the run too much? I think the caller's right. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Dirk writes in from Belgium. Adam, I don't see why everybody's already overreacting. It's week two of the season and one loss. And in general, I agree with that. But look, it was a bad loss. It was a horrible loss. Offense looked bad. Coaching was questionable. Special teams was an abomination. By the way, one guy we haven't mentioned, other than his punt getting blocked, Mesko didn't have a strong day. Again. And the punt block isn't his fault. That's Ebner not picking up his block. But Mesko didn't have a strong day again. So the special teams were an abomination in this game. You lose Hernandez. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this thing, but I will say, Patriots have recovered from early season losses and turned it around. They did it last year. Remember, they lost to Buffalo early in the year. So I'm not extrapolating it and saying the Patriots are a bad team all of a sudden, or they won't make the playoffs, or they won't win their division, or anything like that. I do question the play calling, and I question if they can figure it out. I think they can figure out how to replace Aaron Hernandez, but I don't know. I think it's fair to question it right now, since it took them the better part of three quarters to figure that thing out and get, Gronkowski and Welker more involved. Maybe that's the way to do it. I thought it was too much Lloyd for the middle portion of that game, the second and third quarter after Hernandez went down. Where was Gronkowski? Where was Welker, rather? That's on the coaching staff. Dirk continues. It was a weird game with some strange mixed calls and some strange situations. I see on Twitter, I see a bunch of people tweeting about this, that it's a tough call against Gronkowski. I think it was the right call, though. You can call it a tough call if you want. It was a hold. And the email earlier was right. Took away a touchdown from Danny Woodhead. But still, the Patriots were able to pick up enough yards to get themselves into field goal range. It looks bad. And I didn't think Gronkowski had a strong game in general. He dropped a touchdown. He couldn't come up with the two-point conversion, which was a good play by Kerry Rhodes, which would have tied it. And he also had another ball glance off his hands. I'm not going to call it a drop, but one glance off his hands going into halftime in the end zone on a long bomb from Brady. Remember, it was a broken play, and Brady's pointing downfield, and Gronkowski breaks off his route and goes right down the middle. Thought they could have had another touchdown there, but that would be piling on a little bit with Gronkowski. I didn't think he was great. I didn't think he was great at all. Six catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. I'm surprised the line looks that good. But I didn't think it was a bad call against Gronkowski. I'll agree it's a tough call, if you want to call it that. People are already bashing Gostkowski for the missed field goal. Well, it happens. It sucks, but there were plenty of moments that defined the game, and it's not just the last field goal attempt. Also, what's up with fans leaving the stadium before the end of the game? Patriots fans have no faith in their team? And that's Dirk from Belgium. Collins, you're going to have to tell me, how bad was it out there? Fans leaving in droves?
I saw you in here
a little early, just for the record.
There were a lot of people leaving with like 9 and 10 minutes left, actually, which kind of surprised me. With that much time, they were down 11 at the time, and they were driving forced a punt with like nine minutes and change, and it seemed like there was this like mass exodus.
Yeah, I watched most of the game in the studio. I didn't bring a laptop today, like a moron, so I was sitting down here with my computer. So I wasn't out there. So if people were streaming out, I missed it. I unfortunately had to watch most of the game in the studio here today. It's a bad luck thing, Collins. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I watched down here instead of out in the stadium or up in the press box. Maybe that's what it was. Shame on me. I should have seen this coming. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Clayton writes in, Adam, ugly one. Drops were awful in this game. And I highlight three. Welker dropped third down pass that resulted in the Patriots punting from their own end zone and ended with the block. You remember that? That was the play where Welker's on the sideline, goes right through his hands, and don't tell me, whoever you're sitting next to, you didn't crack a Super Bowl joke with Welker at the end of Super Bowl 46. And he's right. You pick that thing up, there's no block punt. That's fair. Ebner's still got to block it. But, you know, that's a fair point. If Welker makes the catch, they have the first down. Good point by Clayton. Later, Lloyd dropped a pass on second and one after making a great catch that was challenged. That was the toe-tapping one over on the sidelines. And on third and one, the Patriots ran a toss for reasons unknown to me, resulting in a huge loss, knocking them out of field goal range and forcing them to punt. And he's talking about the Woodhead play, I believe, the what was setting up to be an option pass down the field, and it bumped them out of field goal range. The third drop was by Gronkowski, which you mentioned, though they eventually got the touchdown. Didn't think Brady was extremely sharp, but he needs some help. I think that's a fair way of putting it, by the way, from Clayton, writing into webradio@patriots.com. Didn't think Brady was at his best in this one. But you know when he was at his best? At the end of the game, at winning time. He got him into field goal range. He threw what could have been the tying score. And I thought he threw a pretty good ball to Gronkowski from the two-point conversion. It was a good play by Kerry Rhodes. So I think Brady had a bad pick early. The offense was relatively stifled for three quarters. But in the fourth quarter, Brady was very good. And he played well enough for them to win. Maybe very good is too strong. But Brady played well enough for them to win in that fourth quarter. So I just think, yeah, it wasn't his best, but he played well enough. And I don't know if it's the coaching staff or the health of players, be it Hernandez, who is out, at least for the foreseeable future, or Gronkowski. Maybe he's not fully healthy. Maybe that's part of the reason or part of the issue. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's where Mike writes in, Adam, can't even say how disappointed I am in the offensive game plan. Seriously, why are we throwing the screen to Lloyd? Bingo. Bingo, Mike! Like, what? I thought Lloyd was an outside-the-numbers receiver and a down-the-field receiver who keeps safeties and defenses honest. I thought he was going to stretch the field, Collins.
The few seconds I was in here watching with you, didn't I say that? Yeah. I was like, why?
It's like,
I said, that's Welker's
bubble
play.
Bubble screen to Lloyd?
I said, that's Welker's play.
They're running him like he's Wes freaking Welker. So look, that's not. There are bigger things. There are bigger nits to pick. Trust me, but that's one that's just bothering me. They're using him not the way I envision them using him. Maybe he needs to change the number, like our buddy Melvin suggested earlier in the program. Mike continues. I have nothing but offensive questions without Hernandez. Based on their performance, I thought the defense played well. Couldn't hold up the offense's three and outs. And again, that's a disappointed Mike in South Dakota. How weird is this that we're in here hammering away at the offense and the defense did their job for the second straight game. Defense did their job and looked good. Maybe they'll be tested against Baltimore, though the Ravens and Joe Flacco, I guess, I got to look things over a little more, but must have come down to earth a bit against the Eagles today in their 24-23 loss. But no, it was totally, completely and totally the offense is the reason you lost this thing today. The defense, I thought, was excellent. 508-298-0398. Get to your phone calls momentarily. We'll also continue with your emails, but we want to head to the podium where Patriots head coach Bill Belichick spoke earlier this afternoon following his team's 20-18 loss to the Arizona Cardinals.
Plenty of mistakes out there. We need to correct them. We need to coach better. We need to play better. So we need to do better than that.
Any questions as to playing in a safe play as you did this out?
We scored a touchdown. We got a call back. We got a touchdown call back. There's a lot of things we could have done better today all the way around, all of us. I'm sure everybody on the team feels the same way, every player and every coach. No, they did a good job. No, they did a good job. They got good players, good coaches. They did a good job. I don't know.
Well, you can't go into the game and just count out one guy, any guy. I mean, everybody's got to be ready to adjust. It's not the first time a player has been injured in a game.
An update on the Manuals?
Oh, no. We'll check it out like we usually do and see what the story is. That's what practice is for. Practice is never perfect. There are always things to correct in practice. That's why we practice.
I would have had a few more, but whatever. That was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium.
Unexcused.
Maybe elaborate a little bit, Bill, on this one. You know, he's talking about the injury to Aaron Hernandez, and he gets asked, how much did the Hernandez thing hurt? And he said, well, we got to do better, you know. It's not the first time somebody's been hurt. And not that he's going to throw anybody under the bus, but that's him and McDaniels. I can't imagine that being anybody else, and maybe some of the quarterback as well. But that's got to be who he's talking about there. He also, unprompted, talked about the hold, singled it out. I couldn't make out the voice on who was asking the question, but basically he said, well, we had a touchdown. It got called back. So he didn't sound pleased with the replacement officials, which I wouldn't find shocking if that's part of a narrative, at least within the team. I haven't seen any of that through tweets or anything within the media, but within the team, if they are ticked off about the replacement officials' call on that holding against Gronkowski, it's a tough call. One other thing that Belichick noted, or was at least asked about, was the week of practice. And he didn't take the bait there on whether or not it was a poor week of practice, but I know some players coming out of the locker room, Welker was one, I believe Gronkowski was another, just following the tweets, who singled out not the best week of practice for the Patriots. And I tend to think you win a game, you practice well, you lose a game, you practice poorly. I wouldn't read too much into that, but that's at least some of the narrative coming out of the Patriots locker room as well. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's hit the phones. Tom's in New Bedford, and you're next up on patriots.com. Hey, Tom.
Hey, watching that Gronkowski kick, it's pretty bummer. Came outside, ended up getting a text message that Vinatieri got his field goal made 8 seconds left in the Colts game.
And they won? Is that how they won their game?
Apparently they won their game. 8 seconds left, and Terry made the kick. So that kind of just really twisted the knife even further.
No kidding, Tom. I'm looking right now. They won by a field goal. I will double check that. But thanks for the news, Tom. Call in at 508-298-0398. The Colts did indeed win on an Adam Vinatieri 53-yard field goal. You hear that, Collins? 53-yard field goal by Adam Vinatieri. Slipped right under my radar. As the Colts win, first win for Andrew Luck, 8 seconds left. Vinatieri hit that thing. Gostkowski, meanwhile, is hooking a 42-yarder. Now, look, Gostkowski played well in general. He's been a Pro Bowl kicker for you before. He's made pressure kicks for you before. So I just think this happens. You know, kickers miss game-winning field goals. This isn't a larger narrative. Larger narrative on Adam Vinatieri versus Steven Gostkowski. But today, it's a little more salt in the wound, as the caller pointed out. By the way, Jason LaCanfora tweets out from CBSSports.com. Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez likely to have an MRI on his injured right ankle on Monday. If it's not broken, but could end up as a significant sprain. Or it is not broken, he wrote, but could end up as a significant sprain. And we told you this earlier from Greg Bedard, the notes on Boston.com, which we know, but just reiterating it, that the Patriots can't use the designation on Hernandez. You can't stick him on IR and then bring him back in week 8. You got to carry him on the active roster or put him on season-ending IR. Those are your only options with Aaron Hernandez. They already designated Schenko, which is unfortunate. Brandon writes into web radio, patriots.com. Adam, McD was horrible today. I can't believe he tries way too hard to balance and attack. It's okay and all, but when you're down, you have to go with what's best and not run the ball on third and six. And also, I don't know what the hell they're doing with Welker, but they better put him out there. I don't care if they're trying to get rid of him or if he's on the team and not the best wide receiver. They have to get better and get their you-know-what together. Look, and that's Brandon writing in on McDaniels. The Welker thing's weird, and if I'm reading the tweets correctly, and actually, forget the tweets for a second, just reading from Mike Reese's Patriots blog on ESPNBoston.com. Apparently, Welker was asked point blank, any injuries going on or any reason why the snaps wouldn't be going your way? And he said, I feel great. So read into that what you will. You know, is that Welker just playing good soldier and making the case that he's healthy, or is he really healthy, and are the Patriots phasing him out? I tend to think it's him playing a good soldier, and I think it's him not wanting to give away any information, not wanting to give away anything the Patriots don't want you to give away in terms of injury. But who knows? Maybe it is an indication that they're phasing him out and playing him less. I don't think that's the case, but I think that narrative continues. Played less than Edelman week one, played less than Edelman week two. So if you want to go with it, you got fuel for the fire. I just don't think it's the case. I think it's got to be a health thing with Welker, and he's not going to tell reporters that. That's my feeling. Patriots fall to the Cardinals 20-18 in their home opener here at Gillette Stadium. We're listening to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. Checking the emails to webradio at Patriots.com. It's where Blake writes in. Adam, frustrated to say the least. I understand Hernandez went down early, but that doesn't mean we go to Woodhead in the backfield on third downs three or four times and try to convert. I get Arizona has a fast, good defense, and maybe you try and get Danny in space beating the blitz, but that's not the play I want called that many times in that situation. Didn't deserve to win, too little, too late, but we had a shot, and Gostkowski came up very small when it mattered most. Those flags on Gronk late were huge as well. I agree with most of that email from Blake. Patriots didn't deserve to win. They didn't in this thing. And whether it's Gostkowski, Gronkowski, Brady, McDaniels, Belichick, Ebner, you know, I think there's a lot of people on this list. But I've singled it out. I think Gostkowski and the coaching staff deserve most of it. I didn't think Gronkowski had a great game in this one, but those are where I would assign more blame. More blame. Holding or not, Gostkowski's going to make that field goal. That's how I feel about it. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Adam, you think the fourth quarter holding call on Gronkowski was legitimate? And this is Corinne writing in, by the way. As a big fan, it's hard to be objective sometimes, and I think we were given a gift with that spot for the first down that looked like we were 2 yards shy. And I'm trying to remember what play was that? Is that Edelman, I think, on a third and 13?
I think it was Edelman.
It was Edelman, yeah. Right at the sticks. Yeah, Edelman on a third and 13. It was right, and they ended up getting in the touchdown anyway. So I guess she's just illustrating that there were calls that went both ways. That one went against the Patriots. But yeah, that was an Edelman play. If that touchdown counted, we win the game outright. Don't know if I can blame the inexperienced refs, just a bad call or a bad move by Gronk for the hold. As they say, it's one step forward, two step back with these guys. And again, that's Corinne writing in from San Diego. Look, I think it was more Gronkowski then. I mean, I think it was more the action than the call. I think it was a hold on Gronkowski. The officials called it. So that's how I feel about it. I'm guessing most people want to throw the replacement officials under the bus. I thought the call was fine. Joseph writes into webradio at patriots.com. Adam, in regards to the offensive play calling, I didn't like the third down choices, especially when we were around the 30-yard line. We called the toss, which ended up as a 9-yard loss. This is a play a lot of people are referencing. I don't think it was a toss, per se. It was a halfback pass. Woodhead was looking to pass downfield. Now, he's got to either get rid of the football or try to turn a 9-yard loss into something more positive. I don't like the play call there either, but I'm just, the point is it's not a toss. They were trying for a big play down the field. Why not throw it or run inside when we could have stayed in field goal range? And I agree, we should have tried to advance the ball, but Gostkowski has to make that kick. And again, that's Joey and Endicott writing in. Kevin, you're the one who said that, so I don't know that I feel as strongly about that. Why don't you make a case there at the end? Why do you think they should have just, instead of running out clock and trying to pick a spot on the field, and I know it's easy to say now that he's missed the field goal.
Yeah, no, I thought right away.
That's like, something that honestly didn't cross my mind until after you came in and said it.
It crossed my mind the second, you know, they started to take the first knee, and Gronkowski, I believe, got the false start penalty. Is that one of them? Because they had first and 10 at the 18, and Brady went to go take a knee, and they got backed up 5 yards on the false start.
I'll pull that up. I will pull up the box score for you,
because they did have a false start on that. But especially after they got the penalty, I thought, man, you know, the ball's all of a sudden goes from the 18 to the 23. You're outside the red zone. I thought you really should be getting closer. And then when he took his other knee, you know, you lose another couple yards. So, like we were talking about, anything outside of 40 yards, I don't consider a gimme. Now, should he have made it?
You're right, sure. By the way. Just to illustrate, you're right. Gronkowski had a false start penalty there as well, which escaped me. I must have been so in they're going to make penalty. This field goal mode that totally escaped me.
On a knee, that's a terrible penalty.
Yep.
And then the thing that really just stuck out in my mind
grinds
was
your gears.
You know, you're inside the red zone. You're first and 10 at the 18-yard line. And I think you have like a minute and one left at the time. And it's like you have all this time. You have all the time in the world. And I get that you're worried about Ridley fumbling and he's had issues with it. And you don't want to, you know, do what the Cardinals did and just give the ball right back. But I just think with that much time, you have to trust your players to be able to make 5 to 8 more yards, 10 more yards. You know, if you get lucky, Woodhead hits the home run, you get the touchdown. Great. But I think you just need to trust your personnel to be able to get another first down there.
508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's take another email here from Matt in Northern Ireland. Adam, this loss is one of the most frustrating I've watched. The way the game flipped back and forth was unbelievable. Firstly, I have to give respect to the Cardinals' defense. Peterson, Washington, Dockett, they tortured us all day. And I'll add another one, Calais Campbell. Didn't let us execute anything. And the offensive line mostly sucked. The passing game was completely compressed. Need I go on? Yes, we sucked. However, the replacement officials are the most unprofessional personnel I've ever seen. They were confused all day, gave mixed signals every other call, bad ball spots, needless flags, everything. What I'm getting to is the call against Gronkowski that wiped out the would-be game-winning touchdown, which is the Woodhead run. At that point, I lost it. Please correct me otherwise, but that was the worst call of the day. As to Gostkowski, he may be getting easy, or he may be easy to blame, rather, for the loss. But the guy kept us in the game with some awesome chip shots. No fear for Baltimore next week. We can bounce back stronger, and we will. Go Pats. I don't think those were chip shots. In fairness to Gostkowski, a couple of them were over 50. 50 and 1 and 53 and a 46-yarder.
That kick to make it 20-12, the 54-yard kick with 6 minutes and change left, is a money kick.
Here's the thing, because I'm going to tell you right now. Everybody is going to talk about, in New England now, oh, the replacement officials are bad. I just look at this as...
No, that wasn't that.
I don't think that had anything to do with the replacement officials, but... You know, if this is New England fans finally getting on with what the rest of the league is talking about, like we talked about this on the pregame show, the replacement officials are a disgrace.
Yeah.
And not them per se, but the fact that the league is going with replacement officials is a disgrace. You're a $9 billion a year industry, and you're not willing to pay your officials? Guess what? Stuff like this is going to blow up in your face. And I don't think this is a big one. I think they got the call right. But that was a travesty, what happened in Seattle last week. Seahawks get an extra timeout. And if they ever found a way to win that game, it would have blown up in the league's face. Jeff Fisher and the St. Louis Rams were complaining about having to burn an extra timeout because the clock should have gone down to the two-minute warning in their first game to open the year. So the officials are missing things. And I think the case that, or the commentary that, oh, the regular officials miss calls all the time, I just think that's so misplaced. And these guys are clearly worse than what you normally have.
Absolutely.
And so if this gets people kind of pounding their fists a little bit and they're frustrated in New England or anywhere else, then great, because you should be upset and frustrated with the replacement officials. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. You've already heard from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, following the Pats' home opening 20-18 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. You hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady, next here on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it.
Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Steven Gostkowski will attempt a 42-yard field goal from the middle of the field to try to win it. 6 seconds to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. Kick is no good. He misses a 42-yard field goal. There is 1 second showing on the clock. My goodness.
Gil Santos on the Patriots Radio Network with the call as the Patriots fall to the Arizona Cardinals 20-18 in their home opener here at Gillette Stadium. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones back for the second hour live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. A few notes from this one. Patriots dropped their first home opener since 2001 when Drew Bledsoe was still your starting quarterback and Tom Brady came in relief for Bledsoe after he got blown up by Mo Lewis in a 10-3 loss to the Jets. There's also this, and we pointed it out earlier in the show, just what exactly hinged on that missed kick by Gostkowski? Well, it dropped the Patriots to 1-1 instead of 2-0. And we pointed this out earlier in the show, but I'll reiterate. Teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs 64% of the time. This is since 1990 when they expanded the playoff format. Teams that are 1-1 make the playoffs less than half the time, 41%. And I believe the Patriots will ultimately make the playoffs. So the fact that I keep throwing that number out there, well, maybe it doesn't totally illustrate how I feel, but it's the reality of things. You know, there's a big difference between 2-0 and 1-0. And that's what the Patriots lost out there today.
By the way, Jones, only two 2-0 teams in the entire league as of this very moment.
Arizona, and hang on.
In Houston.
Oh, Houston, right.
But, I mean, it's just crazy. I just looked at, you know, just pulled up the standings, you know. I mean, it's way too early, but you know, just to look at, you know, some of the other action that was going on in the league, and you see the Cardinals 2-0,
yeah,
top that division.
And in fairness, you know, everyone was talking about them before the game, like they're this bad team. I think defensively they're good.
Me included.
And look, they're 2-0.
Shame on me.
And they're 2-0. I didn't think the Patriots would win the Cardinals would win the game, rather. I thought the Patriots would win comfortably. I said that a billion times. I didn't expect the Patriots would lose. But I did think the Cardinals were being sold a bit short. And that's all. By the way, a few other news and notes. Brady loses just his second home game since midway through 2006. The other was last year here against the Giants. And Wes Welker, I haven't even mentioned this yet, throughout the whole course of the postgame show, is now the Patriots' all-time leading receiver in terms of receptions. He passed Troy Brown. He came in tied. So maybe a lot of Patriots fans were already onto this. But he came in tied with Troy Brown, who went into the Patriots Hall of Fame over the weekend, was out on the field at halftime. Drew Bledsoe was throwing him passes. But he now moved into sole possession of first place all time in the Patriots' annals in terms of receptions. So, impressive career by Wes Welker. You got to wonder why he's playing less than Edelman, which he did again today. In terms of snaps, he played 63 to 75. That's Welker to Edelman. And again, this is according to Mike Reese, ESPNBoston.com, unofficially tracking these things over the course of the game. So, why is he not playing more? Is it the team phasing him out? It's not my theory on it. You know, my theory is he's not healthy. You know, he missed the last two preseason games. He was limited in terms of snaps in the Patriots opener against the Titans. But we'll take your theories on it. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Just one other note from the game, and it is a significant one. Patriots lose Aaron Hernandez early on in this thing. And it's being termed in most media outlets as a high ankle sprain. So it's not a break. And it doesn't appear like there's any torn ligaments, at least at the moment, for Aaron Hernandez. You got to file that as a, at least the Patriots dodging the bullet in this case for Aaron Hernandez. It's not good, but it could have been worse. That's sort of how I look at the Hernandez thing. Let's check some of these emails that come into web radio at patriots.com. I thought this was an interesting one from Keith. I was catching up on some of these emails during the break, as well as some of the other scores from around the league. And I caught this one from Keith. Adam, Tom Brady's not a great downfield thrower. All the deep passes that were missed this year are on Brady, not the receivers. Blame him, not Lloyd. And I was thinking about that, and you know what? In this game, most of those throws downfield that were missed were more on the quarterback than they were on the receiver. Even that one I keep referencing where he aired it out for Gronkowski, couldn't quite reel it in. But the Patriots had a ton of drops in this one, and maybe those are more underneath passes, not the downfield ones that Keith is referencing. But I don't know. Maybe it's unfair. I tend to give Brady the benefit of the doubt. I thought it was Lloyd who slowed up in Tennessee. Not a bad throw from Brady. No, not a perfect throw from Brady, certainly. But that's sort of how I looked at it. So, I don't know. I give him the benefit of the doubt. There's a poor connection between Brady and Lloyd. There's a poor connection between them. And I don't know. I've seen enough from Brady where I trust him more than I trust the new receiver in the offense. So I'm going to put that on the receiver. But we'll keep our eyes on it. If Brady misses him deep, then maybe I'll change my stance on that. Maurice writes in to webradio at patriots.com. Adam, what happened to the confidence they had in the running game? They're not committed to running the football at all. I find that unbelievable that people say it. It's not just Maurice. He's not the only one who said it. Like, the Patriots aren't committed to running the football. Guess what? They're not a running team. They ran it 28 times for 90 yards in this thing. Ridley was better, 18 carries for 71. But they're not a running team. You have Tom Brady. You're going to throw it to your tight ends when they're healthy and your stable of receivers, which is still good, even without Aaron Hernandez, and was good enough to put up more points if the personnel was used properly and utilized properly, which I didn't think it was. That's why I put a lot of this on the coaching staff, this loss, after the special teams, which was clearly the weakest part of your team in this one. But I don't think they're a running team, and I don't want them to run the football, quite frankly. I don't want them to get an I formation and be a running team. That's not what I want. I want them to air it out. I'd like a little more balance, and I like that Ridley can be a complimentary running back, it appears, through two games, but I don't want him to start pounding the football and being a running team. They ran it enough. Maybe they got away from it a bit at the end of the game, but there were bigger things on my list than not running the football. And that goes back to play calling, and that goes back to the coaching staff in this one. By the way, update here on Aaron Hernandez, reading from the Patriots blog on ESPNBoston.com. Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez left Gillette Stadium on Sunday with crutches and a walking boot on his injured right ankle. He declined comment when approached by a reporter. So crutches, walking boot, not talking, never a good sign from the Patriots. If their players are talking after they get dinged up, usually that's an indication that the injury's not too serious. If he's not talking, I don't know. I would file that. I would put that in the bad column, right? Even if it's a high ankle sprain, maybe that would lead me to believe that it's a little worse than if he were jovially talking to reporters after the game. Crutches, walking boot, no comment. I would say all three of those things are bad. Seeing Hernandez leaving the locker room. But again, the early reports are it's not a break. Doesn't seem like there's any ligament damage, at least from what we've seen thus far. So overall, you'd hope that Hernandez can come back. And I would say from what we've read so far, it seems like that's a possibility. Seems like it's probable that he'll come back at some point this season. Sean writes in, Sean dials us up here, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's going on, Sean? Hey, Sean, what's going on, man?
I just want to get your opinion on a couple of things. I mean, sure. Let me get first thing out. First thing, I'm completely impressed with Chandler Jones. I mean, I think as a, I don't want to say like a Jason Pierre-Paul, but like I could put him up there like in a few years maybe, but he's really making like some of these offensive star offensive linemen, I mean, just look like backups. The pressure he had on the quarterback today was just amazing. But the biggest thing reason I'm calling to get your opinion on is, what do you think? I mean, look, the way they run the ball on some of these like third and longs and stuff like that. I don't have a problem with like Ridley running the ball. I mean, because he, other than his fumbles and stuff like that, he seems like a pretty reliable back.
Yeah, I mean, but, Sean, just to jump in and I'll let you finish your point. I think the fumbles thing has been overblown completely. He had two fumbles last year, and one was in a big spot in a playoff game. I get that, but he only had two fumbles. I sort of think that gets perpetuated. Like he has more ball security problems than he actually does. He fumbled twice last year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like people are just keep trying to, like, they want him to be the law for him too much. Like, he's not going to be that. Like, he's not going to be that, have that type of balls coming. He could be, you know what I mean, eventually. But, like, you look at some of the best backs in the league, Adrian Peterson, who like, averages, like, 3-4 fumbles a year. I mean, some of those backs don't, I mean, they're not everybody's going to be that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah.
That type of ball security.
I mean, I would just, and Sean, thanks for the phone call. I think what you're getting at is the same exact way I look at this thing. I would trade some ball security for some explosion out of the backfield. Green Ellis had no explosion, but he didn't fumble. I would like a bit more explosion from the Patriots running backs. I will take that trade-off. By the way, he also made the point on Chandler Jones, and I was sort of second-guessing myself, putting Chandler Jones on the good list, but he was just in the backfield so much. And yeah, I was wondering, maybe should I put somebody else on there or bumped up another defensive player, or put Welker on there, or something like that. But I thought Chandler Jones, I agree with the caller. You know, he was in the backfield throughout this game. And that drive in the second quarter, or whatever it was, Cardinals, their fourth drive of the game. This is what they did on a 3-and-out. Chandler Jones stuffs Ryan Williams, 4-yard loss. Chandler Jones draws a hole on Batiste. And then he pressures Kevin Cobb into a bad throw. And if Cobb doesn't get rid of the football, it's a safety. So I thought that drive for me almost single-handedly put him on the good list. He had a great game. He also had a forced fumble in this one. It was recovered by Tavon Wilson. And look, it was a right place, right time thing for Wilson. But you'll take that. You know, you'll take that out of this young rookie. Same thing with his interception. Right place, right time for him. He was there again in this one. So I thought that was promising. Maybe there are some ball skills there from Tavon Wilson. He's recovered a fumble. And he's had an interception in two games. I don't know if either of them were on singularly talented plays by him. The play was more made by somebody else. But I still think you see him being in the right place at the right time. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's where Tony writes in. Adam, overall, thought it was a good game. Okay. I think if Aaron Hernandez would have been in the game, the outcome would have been different. Hope he's okay. Defense played big and physical. Steven Ridley ran the ball quite productively. You can't blame him that Danny Woodhead can't break tackles on a consistent basis. I love that fumble play towards the end of the game, writes Tony. Shows the D can be called on to do the job, but you can't expect them to win the game. I mean, hardly any offensive production until the fourth quarter. And he concludes, after the Hernandez injury, he thinks that Deion Branch, his locker was left intact for a reason, and maybe we'll see him. I wouldn't be surprised at that in the least. One of the things that came out of Troy Brown's induction to the Patriots Hall of Fame over the weekend is that Branch would be open to coming back. It's just a matter of, do the Patriots reach out to him? Other teams have called. He hasn't signed with anyone. Leads you to believe he'd like to be back here. Patriots have kept his locker intact. Maybe this pushes things in that direction. Look, the game would be different with the Hernandez injury. I think that as well. But I also think the Patriots could have won this game even with Hernandez going down. And I understand in the second quarter and the first half, really in general, struggling when Hernandez first goes down. You don't have a lot of time to make adjustments on the fly. But coming out of halftime, I was stunned. I was blown away that there weren't better adjustments and an emphasis to get Gronkowski the ball until midway or late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the bottom line is, with or without Aaron Hernandez, the Patriots are more talented and a better football team than the Cardinals.
So I agree. I think the I think the Cardinals were shortchanged,
yes.
But I don't think they're a better team
with
than the Patriots.
Or without Aaron Hernandez, the Patriots should.
I don't think
that.
They were better today. That was clear. Their defense was underrated in these parts. But I don't think they're a better football team than the Patriots either. I don't believe that, and I don't think the Hernandez injury is an excuse. I mean, it's somewhat of an excuse, but I don't think it's enough to sit there and say that's why they lost the game. They were still the better team. They still had the personnel out there is still three Pro Bowlers. Lloyd, Welker, Gronkowski. Figure it out. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. Patriots fall, by the way, in their home opener to the Arizona Cardinals 20-18 here at Gillette Stadium. Earlier, during the post-game show, you heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's head back to the podium and hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady.
Well, you know, it's a team game, and certainly we shouldn't have been, leaving it up to that particular situation. So, you know, we were fortunate to get, you know, really the defensive turnover there late. We just came up short. You know, we have opportunities to make plays, and we're just not making enough of them. And, just too inconsistent throughout the day to really put enough points on the board. Who knows? We have an offense with him in the game and without him in the game. So, you know, guys go in and out, and you lose guys over the course of a game, and you got to be able to adjust. So I'm sure he's not going to be the only one we lose this year at some point, but we got to figure out a way to, you know, still move the ball effectively throughout the course of the game enough where we can, you know, score more than whatever 18 points. No, I mean, I think it played out, you know, a lot of the way that we thought it would play out. They got a good defense, and they certainly put a lot of pressure on you to make good plays, and they really don't give you easy ones. And, we made some, we just didn't make enough at the end of the day.
How does the decision come out of that situation to say, okay, 42 yards is close enough, you did have to be called back, even so you have an opportunity, in theory, to move a little closer?
Yeah. It's just a decision coach makes, and I think we're a little closer. We had a penalty there that moved us back five more, which, you know, penalties and hurt us a few times today. But, you know, like I said, offensively, it's, you know, when you don't play well and you don't play consistently, you know, if you're not going to get a big play, then you got to drive the ball, and you can't drive the ball if you're always, you know, two steps forward, one step back. And that's the way it felt today. It felt like we'd get the drive going and then be a negative play, and then, you know, we'd be forced to, you know, try to make a miraculous play to get back on track. And, you know, it just wasn't, you know, a very good day in that sense.
When you guys are in your two receiver sets and you have Julian out there with Edelman, what does he bring to that position that, you know, makes the offense effective?
Julian's been very consistent over the course of the entire season, so... he's getting opportunities to be out there and make certain plays, and I got to find ways to continue to get those guys the ball. So, you know, we got a good group at receiver, got a good group of tight ends. We've hopefully have a better offense than the way we played today. We just didn't play consistently.
What are your thoughts on Wes breaking the franchise record? Obviously not doing effort, which you prefer.
Well, he's a phenomenal player, and when he makes plays, it really sparks our whole offense. So, he made a bunch of them today, and, that's what we need. So we just got to do a little bit more to get the ball in the end zone.
Tom, are you on board with Julian playing ahead of Wes?
Like I said, we got those three guys rotate a lot, so... You know, there's plays that, you know, Julian's in there for. There's a lot of plays that Wes is in there for. I love both those guys, and they both work really hard. And that's always the coach's decision on who's out there. It's not really my decision. No, I mean, you miss kicks, you throw interceptions, you fumble the ball, you miss tackle. I mean, over the course of a long season, those things happen. But, you know, there's not one play that, you know, lost the game. We did a lot of things that, you know, allowed us to lose this game. We had a lot of opportunity out there to make more plays than we did. And you know, hopefully it never comes down to a, you know, 42-yard field goal at the end. Hopefully we do a much better job on offense so, it, you know, it's not that kind of game at the end. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, it's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his team's 20-18 loss to the Arizona Cardinals home opener for the New England Patriots here at Gillette Stadium. Look, Brady says all the right things at the podium. We know this. It has to bother him a little bit. And I think it got better as the game wore on. But the fact that Welker played less snaps than Julian Edelman, and he said all the right things again. I like both those guys. It's not my decision. He's right. He shouldn't say differently at the podium. Behind closed doors? I don't know. Maybe he should get in Josh's ear or get in Belichick's ear that, you know what, especially without Hernandez, I'm a little more comfortable with Welker in the slot instead of Edelman. And I don't think anyone would blame him. Don't have to do it at the podium, and I don't expect Brady to do it at the podium. But maybe get in McDaniels' ear and say, you know what, I'd like to see more packages with Wes Welker out there. You know, he caught 100-plus balls last year for 1,500 yards. He's been to the Pro Bowl. Let's get him out on the field, assuming he's healthy. Let's check the emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Luke writes in from Tallahassee. Adam, why is our team running the ball 27 times? Ridley's stats are worse than they look. 20 of his 70 yards came on one play, so 17 carries for 51 is good to you? I just don't see why the Patriots are running for an average of 3.9 from Ridley instead of throwing to our most constant option in Wes Welker. Ridley had one good game, and Wes had one bad game. So why are we reversing their role on the team over one game? Thanks, Adam. Love the show. You're the voice of reason on the pregame social. I don't know about that. But, you know, I was right in this instance. That's all. I was right that the game was going to be closer than a lot of people thought. I didn't think the Patriots would win. So, in general, I'm wrong, by the way. I thought the Patriots would win comfortably. But I thought it would be closer than some others thought. On Ridley, I don't think it's fair to take away one run like that. I understand what he's getting at. But I think the explosion is clear from Ridley. I think the big play capabilities are clear from Ridley. He had a bunch of them last week against Tennessee. He had more today. So, yes, maybe he didn't run the football as well as the line would indicate when you look at 70-whatever yards it was on 18 carries, 71 yards on 18 carries. Still 4 yards a pop with a 20-yarder mixed in there. I'll take that. And on balance, Ridley's looked better than I thought he would through two games. I don't know anybody who would say differently. And by the way, if you listen to this show during the preseason, I'm pretty high on Ridley. I was pretty high on Ridley in the preseason, and he's outperformed my expectations. 508-298-0398. Let's hit some of these phone calls. Steve is in Florida, and you're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Listen, a big fan of the show. I've been a Patriots fan since I sold Cokes at Harvard Stadium. That's how far back I go.
There you go.
But I just want to make a comment, and I think that you hit the nail right on the head when you talked about the coaches today. I saw so many of the play selection today that were just, they were just out of whack. You know, throwing the ball, second and one, you throw the ball toward the end of the game, and then you come back on third down, you end up punting the ball, because on third down you try and run it on a wide sweep, and all you need is a yard. Why not a straight handoff? Why throw the ball 3 yards back in the end zone? And, you know, where a back has to make up 3 yards swinging wide alone just to get back to the line of scrimmage. I don't understand why just that quick run up the middle, you know, I'm glad that they're running the ball, but I just thought that every bit of everything that happened today is on the coaches.
Yeah.
They were outcoached. The decisions that Josh McDaniel made today, I mean, it's not the same guy that left here. He should go back to Denver.
Well,
I mean, this is terrible. And Brady, I mean, you know, as long as you've seen Brady, that when he gets rattled early, He's not the same quarterback. He fell today on a sack that nobody touched him.
Yeah, he just dove. You're right.
He just dropped on the ground. And like, look, what the hell are you doing?
Look,
did you ever see Roethlisberger do that?
No, and not that I watch him quite as much as I watch Brady, but Steve, it's a good point. Now, who can blame him, though? And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. He was under siege. The offensive line, it doesn't seem like your quarterback, when he's sliding or diving, doesn't seem like he has a lot of confidence in his offensive line. So it's a good point by Steve. And guess what? I haven't used the verbiage that Steve used, but he's right. The Patriots got out-coached today. You know, I've sort of beat around the bush and danced around it. You know, I didn't think the coaching staff had a strong day. They were out-coached. He's right. That's a much more succinct way of putting it. They were out-coached. They were. Doesn't mean that Belichick can't coach anymore. He forgot. But this Sunday, early on in the 2012 season, they were out-coached by Ken Whisenhunt and the Arizona Cardinals, especially offensively. I think they had a great defensive game plan, took Fitz out of it. But offensively, that's where the Patriots lost this game, and the Cardinals won the game with their defense. So, I don't know. I put that on the coaching staff. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. By the way, I guess it's unfair to say they won with their defense. They sort of won on special teams. Part of that being the Patriots missing a kick, and part of it being the Cardinals going out and making a great play on a punt block where Ebner just couldn't hold up against Quinton Groves. We'll continue to hear from you, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue with our thoughts on this loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Also, take a look around the rest of the division. We do that next here on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me. Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
We'll go around the AFCs coming up here momentarily. Patriots fall to the Cardinals today, 20-18 in their home opener. First home opening loss for the Pats since 2001. We'll tell you how the rest of the division fared coming up in just a little bit. But we also touched on that discussion coming out of the locker room, or that, I don't know, that feeling coming out of the locker room from Welker and Gronkowski that maybe it wasn't a good week of practice from the Patriots. And Belichick was asked about it at the podium, and he didn't take the bait. But we did reference it earlier today on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones live in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here on inside Gillette Stadium, rather, on patriots.com. But we referenced this earlier, and I wanted to play you a little bit of Welker, and it's just part of what he said after the game. But listen in for what he said about the Patriots and their week of practice. This is Welker after the loss.
We just didn't come out there firing. We didn't have a great week of practice, and Coach made a point of that we needed to, you know, almost play some catch up, and we really didn't, do the things necessary to come away with the win, especially early. And we got to start faster than that and come out and play from ahead and do things the way we need to.
It seems as if, you know, the week of practice kind of slagged right into it. What did you see during practice? By the way, the week is
not Christmas. Just a lot of mental errors and things like that, and guys not doing their assignments and doing their job. And, we talked about, you know, the different things that they did defensively and the type of players they had and the people we had to control, and we shouldn't do a very good job of that.
Wes, you finally broke Troy's record. Does it lose a little sweetness considering how the game
ended? Yeah, of course. You know, you want to win the game. It is what it is.
Game plan.
It is what it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Aaron's in there almost every play. So, it changes quite a bit. And you got to go to a different attack and go out there and play the way we need to and execute the way we need to. And today just wasn't enough.
Did you know you weren't going to be quite as involved with the game plan in the first half as it was in the second half?
I mean, I never know. I always just prepare myself to be ready. And when my number's called, I go out there and just try to make plays whenever I get an opportunity. You want to be out there. I think as a competitor and everything else, especially on Sunday, is what we, play for and what we work for. And you want to be out there, but, at the same time, coach felt like, whatever was best for the team. And I'm for that. And I totally understand it. And I'm just there to help out however I can. No, I feel great.
How much of a loss would it be to be without Aaron for a long period of time if that was
happening? I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he makes so many plays for us, and he's really come in to this training camp and really done really well. He's a really tough guy to match up against, And I think everybody across the board has got to pick up the slack and make some plays out there in his place.
Wes, does Tom seem to be in a better rhythm late in the game when you guys start rolling all up? It's obviously a little bit different end of the game, beginning of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think our no huddle, we work on it a lot. We practice it and it was effective for us, especially late in the game and it was crunch time and we were able to make some plays and get down the field and score and we just gotta finish a lot of those drives on touchdowns instead of field goals.
Any questions, guys?
Anything else?
All right,
thank you all.
All right, two things from Wes Welker. One, says he's healthy, and You can take him at your word if you want. I think there's got to be a health thing going on with Welker. That's what I think. I don't think it's the organization making a stand with him. I don't think he's making a stand behind closed doors, and that's why Edelman's playing more. I think it's got to be health. If it lingers, I'll question it more, but still, through two games, Welker was their leading receiver today, 5 catches, 90-plus yards. He's now the franchise's all-time leading receiver. And with Hernandez going down, I'd expect him to be a focal part of the offense. Hernandez was supposed to be the slot guy. Now it should be Wes. But I guess we'll revisit it. But as of right now, I still feel the same way I did entering this game. I don't think it's a contract thing with Welker. The other thing is the poor week of practice. And I guess that's reporters trying to see, well, were you overlooking Arizona? Were you looking ahead to Baltimore on Sunday night? I don't think that's the case. You know, I think people took the Cardinals lightly. I don't believe the Patriots did. You know, I think that's a good defense, and they struggled. And when they lost a key player, they didn't adjust. That's on the coaching staff. You know, I don't think it's on the players not being up for the game. And my guess is that's where those questions are going. Let's hit the phone calls. 508-298-0398. James is in Chicago, and you're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How you guys? I'm not happy about the Patriot loss. My brother, he hates the Patriots, so of course he's giving it to me. My question is, I mean, Peyton Manning, this guy hasn't played football in who knows how long. He comes back against the Pittsburgh defense that thrashed the Patriots last time they played him. And, I mean, he's out there with receivers that he hasn't even built up a rapport with. And he's a field general. He wins that game, his first game back. Where is this field general and Tom Brady? I mean, does he not have the power that Peyton Manning has to look at the defense, or is he just misreading things? But, I mean, it's like he's holding the ball too long, or he's not, he's not calling guys on the quick routes when he has to get the ball out quicker. And they're just the offense. Period. I just don't understand the calls they're making.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I mean, James, look, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. He's waiting patiently. I disagree. I didn't think Brady had a great game, but I don't think the calls are Brady. I think that's McDaniels and Belichick.
Cut that meat!
And look, Manning looked great in that first game. I know everybody, you know, loves that Steelers defense. It's getting up there in age, and it was dinged up when he faced them last week. I don't know. I wouldn't be totally surprised if the Cardinals had a better defense, especially given their schedule, than the Steelers end up with statistically by the end of the year. They're younger, they're more athletic, they're faster, and they have an easier schedule. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals' defense is legit. You know, maybe I'm drinking too much of the Kool-Aid, but I wouldn't be surprised. So Peyton Manning carved up an aging, banged-up defense, and Brady struggled against a young, athletic defense when one of his main weapons went down. And by the way, still threw for 300 yards, still had a chance to win the game. Put it in the hands of his kicker at the end. I don't think that's on Brady. I didn't think he played great, but I don't think it's on Brady. I think it's more on the coaching staff. That's how I feel about it. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Kyle writes in, and he has a lot. It's just titled, subject line, Colin, Stupidity by the Patriots. Adam, I have a long list of complaints about the Pats, particularly the coaching staff. At the end of one half, the Patriots decided to punt from midfield with 6 seconds left. They should have bombed it into the end zone, and the clock would have read all zeros.
I agree 100%.
Arizona foolishly did not call a timeout earlier to force a punt, and the Pats failed to take advantage of it.
No, but, and then they called the timeout with
six seconds left,
giving
right.
the Patriots a chance for a free play.
And they could have just there. Bombed it to the end zone. That was like four seconds left. You're right.
It's a free shot right there.
And they didn't take it. No. My buddy actually texted me at halftime and asked me why they didn't. I had no idea. Patriots punted, and I said to him in a joke, at halftime, I was like, Peterson's their best weapon. I don't know why the Patriots would even, you know, let their punt returner on the field.
Yeah. No,
I thought that was weird.
That's an even better point.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You don't take the shot. Then you decide you're going to punt, and instead of having it booming through the end zone, right, to kill the 6 seconds,
you give Peterson
the ball in play and give the kid a chance to return it.
Look, the play had no bearing on the game whatsoever.
But still, just dumb.
But you're
dumb.
Right. Just
situationally
it
dumb.
It illustrates what's going on with the coaching staff in this one. They were out-coached. I don't think they're a bad coaching staff. They were just outcoached for a game. Nothing wrong with that. You know, they'll get it fixed. I believe they will. Kyle continues. Offensive play calling, just awful. The draws and pitch plays to Woodhead killed two or three drives and knocked the Patriots out of field goal range in one instance. Again, the halfback pass play. McDaniels failed to learn of Woody's ineffectiveness, and it cost the team mightily. The last one was good, but the holding call ruined it, so I cannot count that one. And look, a lot of people are hammering away on Woodhead. I don't know. I think that's more the coaching staff than Woodhead himself, and I think that's what the emailer here, Kyle, is illustrating. I think it's more the coaching staff falling in love with him, or McDaniels, or O'Brien previously, whatever it is. I don't think that's Woodhead, necessarily. Patriots defense on the last drive gave up an early first down. Everyone knew Arizona was running, and they got a first down on two plays. The fumble saved them, but the urgency in defending the run we saw after the first down should have been present immediately. And that's a tough one for me. I mean, Williams broke off a couple of good runs. The play by Spikes was huge, so I'm not going to follow Kyle in that one. On to the general lack of welcome we saw, writes Kyle. It was absolutely ridiculous. I sided with the organization when they didn't give him a contract, but I feel like he should be mad now, more so than ever, because they're limiting him from looks at it. Fortunately, he proved to be the best offensive player out there for the Pats as far as I'm concerned. I agree. He played better than Gronkowski today. Gronkowski got in the end zone. Welker played better. And I also agree. I understood the organization's stance against Welker. I never understood it against Mankins or Wilfork, you know, or younger players who have come through before. Asante, I never got it, you know. Young guys looking for that first contract, pay them. Welker's older. Takes a lot of hits at his position. He's had a significant injury. I understood the organization's stance with Wes Welker. I did. I don't think this is a contract thing. I'll keep reiterating that. That's not what I think. Also, I was very critical of the Patriots, writes Kyle, cutting good receivers in favor of more tight end. In favor of more tight ends. If today proved anything, it showed this was clearly a bad idea, as nobody could do what Hernandez does. By the way, I'll pile on with this. Why was Salas inactive? And why was Connolly active if he didn't even see the field? Like, what was the point of that? You could add another receiver. And I don't know how good Salas is, but you could add another receiver out there. Seems like that would have made sense. And he makes the point. You could have kept Gaffney or Branch. They could have shifted the focus and gone with three wide receivers instead of only having three active for the whole game, one being Edelman. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys is signed this week. Branch, Gaffney, Stallworth, somebody. I would say Branch is the early favorite, but somebody. They should add a player like that. Lastly, writes Kyle, a 42-yard field goal is far from easy. The Patriots foolishly elected not to try and gain yards after the penalties, which is what Kevin keeps citing, and it cost them. Even run a play or two would have helped, although they should have tried a safe short pass or a screen, in my opinion. They had around 40 seconds to run one or two real plays, and they didn't. And that's something that Kevin was hammering him on right when he walked in here after the game. Another email to webradio@patriots.com. That's Guy Turner writing in. What was that at the end of the game, Adam? Two plays to put the ball in the middle of the field and leave Gostkowski with a 42-yarder. Whose idea was that? Two plays. That's yards left on the field to save the list. And again, this is Kevin. This was his thing when he came in. I got to be honest, when I was watching, I don't know, the way Gostkowski was kicking, I didn't think it was a huge deal. He made from 51, 53, 46. But, Collins, clearly you're not the only one who thought that way. That was back-to-back emails.
I just think it makes sense. I mean, I don't think it's a huge risk trying to get closer and... There's just something about that end of the field, Jones. It's the Cundiff end of the field.
It is, and somebody referenced that on a tweet or an email earlier. It was sort of like Billy Cundiff, and they're totally right.
And the kick was similar. It was a dead hook left.
Yeah.
His was the same.
His was way closer, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cundiff's was closer.
35 or something like that. I mean, I guess not way closer.
But I think, though, the kick also was closer to going through than Gostkowski's was just a
that's
boomerang.
True. The thing, I was telling Kevin off the air here, I sit down here in the studio, or I was today for this game, and usually by the fourth quarter I'm down here anyway. And you can tell by the crowd that it wasn't a game-winning field goal. Like, I'm under the stadium. I can hear that it's not a game-winning field goal. So I look over at the TV. I'm like, he missed, or it was a timeout or something. I didn't know what it was, but I knew he didn't make it. And I look over, and the thing, Kevin, the second it came off his foot, it was left. It was a no-doubter miss by a mile. So, yeah, that thing was, that's on Gostkowski. It didn't look like a bad snap, wasn't a bad hold. That's just Tim tightening up or whatever you want to call it in a key spot. Or
the
just,
sphincter
or
says,
just,
what?
Just mishit it. I mean, whatever it is. In the biggest spot, you know, he screwed up, and it stinks because he had the chance to be the hero in this one with five field goals in the game winner, and he ends up the dud. Speaking of studs and duds, Blake writes in to webradio@patriots.com. I like emails like this, by the way, Kevin. Studs and duds. He does his list, sort of like good, bad, injured, you know. I like listy things.
I think
things.
He's trying to rip your...
You think that's what he's doing?
He's stealing your shtick.
No, we'll see. Certainly I didn't create that shtick, by the way.
You're trendy, though. I mean, Jones, you're trendy.
He writes in, Adam, studs. Stephen Ridley ran strong all day, especially making cuts and getting solid yards after first contact. I thought he was good, too. Didn't make my cut, but I thought he was good. Defense. Made stops when they needed. Looked solid overall, especially in covering Fitzgerald downfield. Bingo. Totally agree. This is the best part about their defensive game plan. Fitzgerald, if I told you over the course of the week he's going to have one catch for 4 yards on five targets... You would think the Patriots would win in a rout. I would think the Patriots would win in a rout. And they lose. So I think they did a great job taking him away. Cardinals had a few short fields. They had one where they had to go 2 yards. You know, they had another after that Brady pick where they had a short field. And they were able to just march right down after the Patrick Peterson interception and go 7 yards. So, you know, they had a couple of short fields. It's not like their offense was making up for the loss of Fitzgerald in any way, shape, or form, other than that one long play to Heap. That was really it. He also writes in Gostkowski on the studs list. Look, he hit 4 field goals to keep us in the game when the offense fell apart. Stay tuned for his duds, by the way. I disagree on Gostkowski. Can't split him up like that. Duds. He also has Gostkowski there. He said it. Had to finish it out. Made me want Vinatieri back in the worst possible way. And a caller pointed this out, and I went and looked at the box score. He was right. Vinatieri hit a game winner from over 50 yards with 8 seconds left for the Colts today. Just a little extra salt in the wound. Not a bigger commentary on the two kickers. Gostkowski's the better one at this stage in their career. And Vinatieri's clearly had the better career of the two and doesn't need debate. But, you know, just a little extra salt in the wound there for Patriots fans to have to put up with watching SportsCenter or whatever. Also on his duds list, Josh McDaniels, questionable play calling after Hernandez goes down. Totally agree. Gronkowski made good plays, blocked well, but missed some big catches. 2 possible touchdowns, though he got one back, and made a shoddy cut to the outside on a 2-point conversion. Had 2 big penalties on the final drive, the false start and the hold, which negated a touchdown. And I think saying 2 possible touchdowns, I've sort of been phrasing it that way, but that is a bit unfair. The first one was Brady missing him by his fingertips. I mean, it was a great effort by Gronk. The second one he dropped, but he caught the touchdown anyway, as the emailer pointed out. Then he said special teams coverage. I know I could buy a vowel, but can I buy a tackle instead? That was Ebner. That wasn't a tackle. That was Nate Ebner just whiffing on Quinton Groves and getting Mesko blocked. You know, we heard at length about how key he was going to be on special teams. I think he's looked good in the base defense in the preseason from what we saw. But, you know, you can't feel good about what you saw out of Ebner today when they draft him for special teams. And you could argue that that blocked punt is what swung the game. And I think it's a good point. You know, it's not what ultimately won it at the end of the game, but that was a major swing in the game. And Ebner was right at the heart of that. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. It's where John writes in, Adam, got to preface this by saying I love Brady. I love what he's done for this team, but I'm convinced he's lost his touch for the deep ball. It was the second emailer who said this, by the way. I thought I saw it last year, too. Brady still hits his target at 10 or 15-yard routes, but he has nothing hitting his man on those deep routes. Like I said, I'm a Brady fan. This loss does not fall at his feet, but if Brady can't get the ball over the top, that certainly helps the opposing D. Oh, and yes, fans should not give up so easily from the stadium. Come on. If I paid as much for seats, I'd be sure to get my money's worth. And again, that's John. You pay for the seats, you can do whatever you do. I'm not going to pretend like I've never left a game early. You know, I'll be honest. I've left this stadium early. You know, Collins, you want to know when I left the Patriots-Ravens playoff game? You want to know when I left that thing? Before halftime. You know, so I've left games early before. Granted, that day was on the chilly side. But I'm not going to sit here and poo-poo fans for leaving. I've done it before. You know, you paid for the seats, doing what you want. I didn't think the Patriots were coming back from that thing either. They didn't ultimately. But I didn't think they were going to dig their way out, and they almost did. They fall to the Cardinals, by the way. 20-18, drops the Pats to 1-1. What happened around the rest of the division? Let's find out as we go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
One game in progress right now, everyone's favorite, the New York Jets, currently falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-10, third quarter action at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Jets got on the board early with a touchdown from Mark Sanchez to Santonio Holmes from 14 yards out. Gave him a 7-3 lead. Jets ultimately led 10-6, but the Steelers took a 13-10 lead into halftime, and then Mike Wallace caught a 37-yard touchdown pass from Ben Roethlisberger. Sanchez, by the way, in this one, 6-12, 89 yards, the touchdown that we mentioned to Santonio Holmes. Sean Green also left the game, and I'm not sure if he's returned with what people are assuming is a concussion. So the Jets looking like they're going to drop to 1-1 if the score holds in Pittsburgh. A couple other teams in the division have even their record at 1-1, starting with the Buffalo Bills, blew out the Chiefs 35-17, and that final score doesn't do it justice. It was 35-3 in the third quarter. The Bills did it in a number of ways today. C.J. Spiller ran it in a couple of times. Ryan Fitzpatrick found Steve Johnson and Scott Chandler for touchdown passes from 49 and 10 yards out, respectively. Leotis McKelvin had a punt return. The Bills' defense looked much, much better in this one than they had previously. 5 sacks in this one from that Bills team. Matt Cassel in this one also threw a pick. So the Bills look more like the team that got a lot of preseason hype. Look, the Chiefs aren't good, but they even their record at 1-1 as well. And the Miami Dolphins do the exact same thing in blowout fashion over the Oakland Raiders at home. 35-13, Ryan Tannehill gets his first professional win. 18-30, 200 yards and a touchdown to Anthony Fasano. But the headliner in the game for the Dolphins, Reggie Bush, 172 yards and a pair of touchdowns on the ground as the Dolphins even their record at 1-1. If the Jets fall to the Steelers, and again, they're down 10 in the third quarter on the road, all four teams in the division will be 1-1 as the Patriots get set to take on the Baltimore Ravens next week on Sunday Night Football. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, and I'll try to track this email down. It's from Casey to webradio at patriots.com. He writes, Adam, the Pats were outplayed today, but this game shouldn't be concerning. Looking forward, however, is that they're playing at Baltimore next week. Would a 1-2 start be alarming, or could they overcome it? And Kevin Collins brought this up to me off the air. He goes, well, you know what, Jones? Let's say the Patriots lose at the Ravens, which I think is completely and totally reasonable. In fact, if this makes sense, I felt better about the Patriots or feel better about the Patriots winning this game because they've fallen to the Cardinals than I did going into it. I had that thing circled as a loss way back when the schedule came out. Now that they've lost, now that they've gotten an early loss out of their system, I don't know. I feel a little differently about them playing the Ravens, and I'll think it out over the course of the week. But I will tell you, my initial gut instinct on that game, they weren't going to win it. Not at Baltimore, who's going to be foaming at the mouth after the AFC Championship game last year. They're going to want revenge. They changed kickers, for God's sakes. So they're going to want revenge at home on Sunday Night Football. I thought that's a tough spot for the Patriots. But as Kevin pointed out, let's say they lose that game. They're 1-2. Then you're at Buffalo. It's a team you lost at last season. They just blew out.
Looked a lot better today.
Looked a ton better today. Granted, against the Chiefs. But they blew them out. Then it's Peyton Manning. Then it's at Seattle. And it's like, okay, well, you start playing these games, I think the Patriots can dig themselves out of the 1-2 hole. To answer the emailer's question, I think, yeah, if you lose to the Ravens, which I don't even think is a done deal, by the way, like I said, I feel better now that the Ravens looked more human. Certainly they did in their first game against the Bengals. Came down to earth a bit today. They fell to the Eagles, 24-23. Joe Flacco came down to earth a little bit. So I actually feel better about that matchup than I did coming into the game today. But if they fall and they start 1-2, they can pick themselves up by the bootstraps. They've done it before. I think the Patriots can come back from a 1-2 start. I wouldn't be piling on. It wouldn't be good. And look, they lost back-to-back games last season and were able to bounce back from it and get to the Super Bowl. By the way, just since we're talking about the Ravens, they fall 24-23 today at Philadelphia. Michael Vick had a one-yard touchdown run with a 1:55 left in the fourth quarter to give the Ravens the win. Remember, everybody, all over Joe Flacco after week one? All over him. 22-42, 232, touchdown and a pick. Eagles sacked him twice. Pretty mediocre, pedestrian day out of Joe Flacco. Ray Rice, 99 yards on the ground, another 53 through the air. He's really their offensive player that you got to worry about matching up against and controlling. But, I don't know, pretty blah performance by the Ravens today. So, I don't know. In a weird way, I feel better about them going into that spot and pulling out that win on Sunday Night Football than I did coming into the game today. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. It's where Gabe writes in, Adam, tough loss. Have to blame it on Josh McDaniels. His play calling was awful. When the pass was working, he would switch to run. And then we'd run for no gain. It's funny now that we have a good defense, our offense becomes shaky. I'm not a happy fan right now. P.S. I hate kickers. And again, that's Gabe writing into webradio at patriots.com. Not ready to declare this a good defense yet. Not ready to declare it a good defense yet. They've been excellent through two games. But remember who they've gone against. Jake Locker, second-year player making his first career start, and Kevin Cobb, who got beat out by John Skelton in the preseason. Okay? So they've done what they should have done against these quarterbacks. In my opinion, I like what we've seen. I like what we've seen. But Joe Flacco, he's still a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. Let's see how they look against Flacco. Do they look like the Bengals' defense, or do they look closer to what the Eagles put on today? Then maybe I'll be buying into the defense more. I think it's improved. I'm not sure how much yet. Speaking of the defense, Keith writes in to webradio at patriots.com. The D answered all my questions today, Adam. Because last year, weaker quarterbacks have come into Foxborough and had career days against the secondary. It's a good point. You know, whether it was in Foxborough or elsewhere. Remember Chad Henne on opening night against the Patriots last year? I know it was in Miami. Torched him was a sign of things to come. Was it Orlovsky last year, Collins, for the Colts who came in and tore him up? Right? It's a former UConn kid. Came in and tore him up here in Foxborough in the fourth quarter. And Keith accurately points out, lesser quarterbacks have had career days against the secondary, so they passed the smell test because the defense has always been competitive against better quarterbacks in the league, and average quarterbacks have killed us. I don't know that I totally agree with that last point, but I'll tell you who I thought had a good day, and I guess I'd have to go back and watch it a little bit, but you know who wasn't in my notes at all in a bad way was McCourty. Not at all. And I bet he had help the entire game over the top against Fitzgerald. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And he should.
Yeah, the only thing that stuck out to me that I remember off the top of my head, he had Fitzgerald after the block punt, the 2 yard
drive.
Yeah,
the one in the end zone. Yeah,
that was a good play.
And it was great coverage, right?
That was the only one that really stood out to me.
I didn't have any bad stuff with McCourty, and that's a play I was just going to reference.
I felt like they also, in fairness, Jones didn't throw it at Fitzgerald all that much.
No, but this is my point.
Because of his coverage.
How much of it is McCourty, and how much of it was just the Patriots were not going to let Fitzgerald beat them? I don't know. That's what I'd have to go back and watch. But I'll tell you, at first blush, I think McCourty played pretty well. One play that I can remember where he was one on one with Fitz and Cobb took a shot at him was in the end zone, and Fitzgerald got a hand on it, but McCourty was in tight coverage. He was right on his hip. So I'm not saying McCourty's back to Pro Bowl McCourty, but this was an opportunity to get torched by Fitzgerald, and he didn't. He held his own, and maybe it was safety help over the top. I don't know. But the one play that stuck out to me was the exact play that Kevin just referenced. I thought that was a great play by McCourty. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio @patriots.com. It's where Rick writes in. Adam, just heard the comments from Belichick, and I got to say, I'm a bit tired of how he handles the losses. Any way to me that the issue here is just too many drop balls? Why can't these guys catch the ball? Defense looked good anyway, writes Rick. Look, on Belichick, whatever. We've gone through that I don't know how many billions of times on this show and other media outlets, so whatever. You feel how you feel about it. Too many drop balls, I think that was part of it. I think the play calling was unimaginative, and they didn't make up for the loss of Hernandez. Like, that's a curveball, trust me, for any coaching staff. But this coaching staff is supposed to adjust on the fly. It's supposed to be what they're great at. And I think they are very good at it. So I have high expectations for this coaching staff. And guess what? They didn't adjust to the loss of Hernandez. And most teams would take a guy like Wes Welker on their bench to come in for their quote-unquote slot guy, even if he's a tight end, and Aaron Hernandez. Welker's a pretty good backup. Figure it out. So special teams, in closing, let down the Patriots today. Block punt, because Ebner can't block Quentin Groves. And a missed field goal by Gostkowski. At the end, that is the headliner. But the coaching staff, to me, was a sidebar issue in this one. And it was right there. Maybe not quite front and center, but it was right there. Coaching staff had a rough day, whether it's Belichick, whether it's McDaniels. I'll put the blanket statement on it. Coaching staff had a rough day. And I didn't think Brady played great, especially after Hernandez went down early. You know, I didn't think he played great. What flies on a little under the radar is the defense, but it's tough to paint a rosy picture after this one as the Patriots fall in their home opener to the Arizona Cardinals 20-18. Our next broadcast will be next Sunday night. I'll talk to you before it with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo as we lead you up to the Baltimore Ravens and New England Patriots here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'll talk to you after the game next Sunday here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots are back on the road in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Kickoff is set for 8:20 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 6 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.